This is the official EFL podcast with Mark Clement.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the official EFL podcast with me, Mark Clement, where you catch us purring with excitement at the quite rampant form some teams across the EFL's three divisions are in. Luton Town, Sheffield Wednesday and Bristol Rovers, to name but three. And in fact, a little bit later on this week's podcast, we'll turn our attention to Sky Bet Championship strugglers who've had a dramatic upturn in their recent fortunes.
As time's gone on, we've got to grips with what the manager expects from us, and we've been able to display that on the pitch, frankly, recently.
And first up, we'll meet one of the Football League's most recent additions and now biggest names.
I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's an opportunity to open my eyes to a level I've not managed at. But I think sometimes people forget that I was playing in the early 80s, early 90s, and football didn't start when Premier League came in.
It's the official EFL podcast. The Barnsley striker Carlton Morris to come, but let's start this week with a man who's graced the shirts of European giants Manchester United, Barcelona and Bayern Munich, winning the Premier League, the FA Cup, the League Cup and the European Cup Winners' Cup. He's taken charge of 466 games as a Premier League manager with Blackburn Rovers, Manchester City, Fulham, QPR, Stoke City and Southampton. He's played for and managed his country, Wales, and in his fifth decade in professional football, Mark Hughes was still making the headlines last week when he signed a 2.5-year contract to take over at Sky Bet League Two Bradford City. I'm sorry to have to get the 5 decades in there, Mark.
Yeah, I was just thinking, goodness me, you were doing well up to that point.
I shocked myself a little bit, but your sort of pro career with United started in 1980, did it not? That's when you signed your pro contract.
That would have been right. Yeah, I signed as a schoolboy when I was 14, and then on my 17th birthday, that's when I signed a pro contract, only for a year. And yeah, actually, when I worked it out, because I had to pay my digs once I signed pro, I ended up on less money than I was as an apprentice. So it wasn't a great deal that I signed.
Well, nevertheless, I were just about accurate. What sort of a reaction have you had over the last week since you were appointed?
Well, the welcome I've had from the Bradford City fans has been fantastic, I have to say. Notwithstanding the reception I had before the game, which was great, as good as any I've had. I've been at some clubs when they've wanted me out before I actually started the job. So that certainly wasn't the case at the weekend. Weren't able to get the result we all wanted, but I've got a good feel. I think sometimes when you walk into a club, you get a sense of where the club is at, and do they really want you to do well, or are you just another manager that's coming along the way and you'll be gone soon and on to the next one? I don't get any sense of that. It's a really good, warm club that wants to do well, and they're very hopeful I can bring them success, which clearly is what I want to do for them.
Yeah, is that word warm? That's a very important word, is it, for a football manager and one that's been out for a few years now looking for the right opportunity. And do you make that decision on gut feel, Mark?
Yeah, to a certain extent. You don't know, obviously, exactly how the reaction will be until you actually sign. But I met chief executive Ryan Sparks and had a conversation with the owner, and I just got a sense of a club that wants to do the right things, are trying to enthuse the footballing public in their city, and they were going right around the process in the right way. So I was impressed with how they went about their business, and in the end, I just got a sense that actually I want to do this. It's fair to say probably that wasn't my initial thought when it was mooted to me, but the more I thought about it, the more engaged I was. So I'm really pleased I made that decision and came to my senses.
Yeah, well, it's great to have you back. I mean, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? I mean, because the chief executive you mentioned, Ryan Sparks, revealed that an initial email from your agents went in his junk filter, and he thankfully went through and managed to find it and things. So did your agent come to you and say, what do you think of this one? I mean, well, how does it work in terms of pitching it to you and eliciting your interest?
Yeah, well, my agent actually is my son who represents me. So he just looks after all my work, media stuff and all that. So yeah, he just came along and said, oh, by the way, I've just, well, spoken to Bradford. And he said, what do you think? And like I said, we had a conversation about it, and he put his views, and he's been around football for a little while now. So, yeah, and we came to the conclusion, well, it was certainly worth a conversation, which we obviously set up, and it just followed on from there, and it progressed, and I was happy to sign in, yeah.
Mark, were you anticipating offers from higher up over the last, what are we talking, December 2018, aren't we? So lots happened in that time.
Yeah, yeah, I was, if I'm honest. I'm not going to say I was, but I think sometimes it's not what you know, it's very much who you know in this business sometimes, and it's your connections and your network, and maybe... possibly at the top end. I did exhausted my network to a certain extent, and I wasn't getting the opportunity or even getting conversation. I was of the view that you get me in a room, then I'll convince people that actually it makes sense. So, but for a long time, I wasn't even getting a conversation, and then I'd see the appointments that were actually made, and I'd start to scratch my head in some cases. But you have to accept that. That's how the football business works sometimes. So I was quite prepared to wait a little bit longer. But I think just the timing now is key as well, because it gives me an opportunity to have a look at the squad and work with the group I've got at the moment. And then I can make decisions based on what I see from now to the end of the season. And hopefully we're able to get some momentum from now to the end of the season, and we can take that into next year as well.
I mean, what comes out of this, obviously, and I guess there are parallels with your former Man U teammate, Steve Bruce, who went back in, is it a month ago now, is just that the fire still burns brightly, that it'd be quite easy to go off and enjoy your life. You've got nothing to prove to anybody. Well, maybe you've got something to prove to yourself, but nothing to prove outwardly, but quite clearly that desire to remain in football, Mark, remains, well, as strong as ever.
Yeah, it's always there, Clemmy. That doesn't go away. It doesn't matter. I mean, we're at the end of it, we're all fans. I think sometimes people forget that actually we just love the game of football and everything that is connected with it. And I mentioned after the game of the weekend that I know, obviously, I was disappointed with the result, but actually, I loved every minute of it leading up to the game. And Saturday was always my big day as a player and as a manager. I enjoy the process of getting to the Saturday and preparing the team, but actually, game day is why you do it. And obviously, I hadn't had that on Saturday afternoons. I was twiddling my thumbs. So that was the thing I realised that I really, really missed. And I've got that back now. So it's up to me to make sure I retain that for as long as I can.
Even after all you've achieved in your career and going out for cup finals and debuts at the Nou Camp and all the rest of it, were you nervous on Saturday?
Oh, yeah, you get pre-match nerves. That never changes. It doesn't matter if you're starting off for your career or you're at possibly the latter stages of your career. You still have the same emotions. They sometimes are in different quantities, and sometimes they last longer than other times. But the emotions are always there, and the excitement more than nerves, I think, was what I experienced. I've always had that. I always used to look forward to the big games, the cup finals. Those are the ones that I really enjoyed. And some players, which I can say I understand, but I don't really, because I just used to think the big games were the best games to be involved in. But I know some players didn't feel the same and found it a bit of an experience. And that's when nerves kicked in for them. I didn't get nerves. I just got excitement, and I couldn't wait to get out there.
I've had this conversation a few times with managers. You know, Mick McCarthy describes the sensation of going from sort of putting the wheelie bin out and the recycling once a week to being thrust back in it. Nigel Adkins shared with us when he took the Charlton job, of course, it came off the back of lockdown. He hadn't had a proper pair of shoes on for 18 months. And he's in the technical area and they're rubbing the back of his heels and stuff like that. I mean, it's quite an adjustment, isn't it, from the piece of not having the structure of football around you to suddenly being thrust into an environment.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's quite interesting, though, but you can slip back into it very, very quickly. I know before I actually went in for my first day that obviously I'd spoke to Glenn Hodges, who's come with me, and he said, what are we going to do tomorrow? And I said, at the moment, I don't really know, because I couldn't get it straight in my mind in terms of what I was going to say and what I was going to do initially. And then I get into the club and get into the training ground, and I knew exactly what to do in terms of obviously meeting staff, speaking to the players, having a meeting before. So it all came flooding back. So any concerns I had about not quite knowing the role anymore, that was quite quickly dissipated.
Had you sort of done a lot of analysis of the football side before you found yourself on the training field and standing in front of the players?
What, the Bradford itself or the league itself?
Bradford itself.
No, it's very, very easy to obviously do your homework prior to going into a club, just to make sure that you do know, obviously, where they've been, what they've been doing, what the situation is. You can do that from the outside looking in, but it doesn't beat actually going in and speaking to people and getting an understanding of where the concerns were, why they weren't. They felt doing as well as possibly people expected. So the first week was a lot of conversations surrounding that, and really to get a real insight into where they feel they are. And hopefully we've been a positive introduction, and we'll get back on track.
You know, you mentioned thinking about what you're going to say. Is that first encounter with a new group of players all crucial? Just setting the tone for your reign, those first couple of sentences that bring the room to order, are absolutely paramount.
Yeah, I think you've got to go in with the confidence and maybe body language that, okay, we're here to work and I mean business, and all those things that you can project from your manner and your tone of voice and how you walk into a room, I suppose. So, you probably do them subconsciously. You don't really say, right, I'm going to stride in purposefully here and make a mark. I think it just happens and you understand what's required. So I've been doing it for a long time now. So those things come quite naturally.
Yeah. I mean, there's always talk of when somebody that's been at a higher level drops down that they'll be frustrated by the quality of the players. But I wonder if there's another dynamic as well, which is that when you inherit a squad of League Two players, I'm assuming there are varying degrees of confidence levels. Some of them will clearly have greater vulnerabilities because perhaps their careers have not been quite at the level that they assumed. So is that a big part of galvanising a dressing room as well, knowing what's in the heads of your players?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's why it's important that certainly from now to the end of the year, that I constantly have these conversations with players and get a real understanding of, because it's going to change from day to day, I'm sure. Any decisions I make will affect people, good, bad, or in different ways. So I have to acknowledge that and have that emotional intelligence to understand the impact that I'm having on people when I make decisions, and try and be aware of that. If I can be aware of that, then obviously I can, if people need an arm around their shoulder and a pick-me-up, then I've got to be aware of that and understand that from their point of view. So it's difficult at times because you've got a group of 25, 30 individuals that you can't always give as much attention as you possibly would like, just because the numbers are too big in any given week. So you've just got to try and prioritise the important conversations that you have in any given week and hope that enables people to be the best they can be.
Yeah. You mentioned you've got Glenn Hodges with you, who's been in and around, I think, 7 appointments or involvements with clubs that you've been at, probably country as well. Was Glenn with you at Wales?
Yeah. Glenn was under 21 coach for a period.
Yeah. But you have embraced Mark Trueman being there as well. Is that an important part of this? Because, you know, he's held the fort a couple of times over the past couple of years, clearly knows the nuts and bolts of the football club.
Yeah, that was important from my point of view. Mark's well thought of at the club and has done great jobs in difficult circumstances, and credit to him for that. Yeah, he's been invaluable, obviously giving us an insight into the players and in terms of where they've been and what problems they've had during the season and maybe issues surrounding strategy of the club a little bit. And just all that information is helpful. Let me know. It's you need as much insight into where the club is in terms of on the field and off the field, and obviously support staff and guys that have been there a number of years can give you that information. So it would be wrong just to discard that. Mark's going to be part of what we're doing moving forward, I'm sure. So yeah, he's been invaluable.
Yeah. Have you reached that point in life, and you and I are at a pretty similar age, where actually you start to be invigorated by the young pups that are around? Because not only is, not if you got Mark, but off the field, Ryan Sparks, I think I'm right in saying, is the youngest chief executive, I think, in league football. But there's bits that they can teach you. It's not just about your experience, is it? They can sort of teach you as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. No, no, you're right about, yeah, you surround yourself with younger people, and they can mould your outlook. You just have more awareness of where they come from. Obviously, I've got growing families. My children are all married, and apart from my daughter, but yeah, they're constantly enabling me just to keep in touch with what's in vogue at the moment, and so that allows me maybe to interact with younger elements, and obviously that helps our football club. A lot of the players that I'm dealing with are younger than my grown-up kids, so it's a different era. This constant cycle of younger players coming through as well. So yeah, you've got to keep young in heart, young in body, and young in mind, because that'll help you do the job.
I was looking through the fixtures. There's a lot of big games where you learn a lot about the football club, if I might suggest. I mean, you've got 12 games left. 8 of them, by my calculations, are against teams who will be looking for points to be at least part of the playoff mix. So that's a big opportunity for you to see just what your current crop are made of, is it not, Mark?
Yeah, as I mentioned before, Clem, yeah, that was one of the thoughts behind coming in now rather than waiting for possibly the opportunity in the summer. I think it's important that I get a real understanding of how people deal with big games at this level, and in terms of there's different challenges. Some teams play more than others. Others are more direct. Others are more dynamic. There's all different types of teams in this league. I was impressed by Mansfield at the weekend, a really good team, well organised by Nigel Clough, and I had a good chat with him after the game there. That was interesting. So, I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's an opportunity to open my eyes to a level I've not managed at. But I think sometimes people forget that I was playing in the early 80s, early 90s, and football didn't start when Premier League came into fruition. It was going for a long time before that. And when I first started, pitches were poor, training grounds hadn't been built, stadiums were possibly in need of a little bit of renovation. So it's nothing I haven't experienced as a player. I haven't experienced maybe going to some venues as a manager. But when people ask, oh, will you be surprised? I won't be surprised, because it's what I've been through as a player, so it won't faze me at all.
Is this in any way a risk from your point of view, Mark?
Oh, the people will have to decide that. If I'm not successful, well, people might say I'm a busted flush, and that's the end of it. So, but I wasn't prepared to just walk off into the sunset and not have a go. It was this game is very quick to retire when it's before your time, I feel. So I'd like to have the option to retire myself from the game rather than the other way around.
Yeah. Was that a fear? Were there moments over the last 3 years where you thought, I wonder if I'm going back, or were you absolutely...
No, I always felt there would be opportunity. Whether or not it was going to be in this country, I'd had opportunities to go elsewhere. But clearly COVID was around. I didn't particularly want to take up those opportunities. They would have been difficult. I found it difficult to watch football, obviously behind closed doors with no fans. That just didn't get me going at all. So I was in no rush really to get back while that was in place. So really, in terms of wanting to get back in, it's only been probably 6 months now that I've actively been looking to get a role. But it seems longer, obviously, because it is. It's 3 years, so it soon passes by.
Is the Masters sort of finishing drill something you're going to be doing? Because the team are a little bit low on goals this season, without a doubt. Have you been putting them through their paces at the end of main training sessions?
Well, that will come a little bit towards the weekend, so it's embedded just before the game. So, yeah, there's lots of work to do. It's fair to say there's certain ways that I want to play in certain circumstances that maybe previously they've been told to do different things. So I'm looking to obviously get the ball down and pass and be a little bit more progressive in that way. But I'm conscious that I'm not going to change overnight. The guys have been working on things all year, and to just throw that out and try something new would be crazy. So I'm clearly not going to do that. It's slowly to a certain extent, but I want to see obviously improvements. I want to see areas of our play that clearly they've taken on board, and if I see that on a regular basis, we can build to the end of the year, and then we know where we want to go in the summer. So that's a process. It's not going to happen overnight. I think everybody understands that.
I'm not suggesting for one minute that you were a miserable beggar in previous times, but you've not stopped smiling throughout this. You are clearly loving the fact you're back in the cut and thrust of football.
Yeah, I'm not aware of myself smiling, as you mentioned. I don't.
You are. Look at yourself on the screen.
Particularly
now,
do that, but I have to say I'm really enthused by it. I just think it's a different experience. It's all hands to the pump. I like that. I'm more involved, and probably in other situations, other positions I've had, because there's so much stuff, you've got to use them. You've got to delegate. You've got to give them a role. You've got to allow them to do the job and grow themselves. So sometimes you're left with not a great deal to do, if I'm honest. So I'm just a muck in and understand that, listen, there isn't too many resources here, so we've got to maximise everything we've got, including myself. So I'm really enjoying that part of it.
Sincerely, Mark, it is absolutely brilliant to have you back. Good luck with everything.
Okay, mate. Good talking to you. Take care, mate.
Your Sky Bet League 2 fixtures this coming weekend. Friday night, 7th-placed Mansfield are at home to 4th-placed Exeter City. Saturday, 3 o'clock's Barrow, really in danger of getting dragged into that relegation battle. They sit just above the zone, just 3 wins in 23 matches or half a season. They're at home to Walsall, Mark Hughes, Bradford City, 13 points off the playoffs, 9 above the relegation zone, are at home to Swindon. Newport in 6th entertain Bristol Rovers, 2 points off the playoffs, Joey Barton's team, after 4 league wins in 5. Northampton Town against Tranmere Rovers is 2nd against 3rd. Tranmere just a point from their last possible 12. Oldham Athletic, unbeaten in 7 since John Sheridan returned, face Carlisle United. Since we were last with you, Paul Simpson has returned to the club. He was double promoted with them in the mid-2000s. He's won both of his first games back in charge, and Mari Patrick scoring in both of those matches. Forest Green Rovers, just a point from their last possible 9, head to Salford. And Sutton United are at home to Rochdale.
The official EFL podcast with Mark Clint.
Your headlines from Skybet League One over the past week as Darren Moore celebrated his first anniversary in charge. Sheffield Wednesday are looking like the ones to watch over the last quarter of the season. They have now won 7 of their last 8 matches. Sunderland steadied the ship with an impressive first win of the Alex Neil era at Wigan Athletic. It was their first in 7 overall. And relief all round after their midweek win over Cambridge United for Wickham Wanderers. They'd only picked up 3 points from their previous possible 21. Your fixtures this coming weekend: Sunderland, who are currently 6th, travel to Charlton. Wickham in 7th and a point behind Sunderland go to Crewe. Sheffield Wednesday head to Lincoln City. It's Oxford at home to Burton Albion. Your game of the day is 1st v 3rd. That is Rotherham against MK Dons. And 2nd placed Wigan are at home to Wimbledon. No win in 15 for them. We should tell you that it is EFL Women's Weekend on Saturday the 5th and Sunday the 6th of March, which aims to celebrate female supporters whilst also trying to drive attendance amongst women and girls. Over 2.9 million female supporters attend EFL matches per season, with an average of 64,000 of them per EFL match day. The EFL prides itself on being positive and inclusive, an environment for everyone, and will continue to explore with fans how they can enhance the EFL experience for female supporters. Into the Sky Bet Championship, where after reaching the playoffs last season, Barnsley have spent just about the entire campaign in the relegation zone. Marcus Sharp, who replaced Valerie and Ishmael as manager last summer, eventually handed over the reins to Poyraz Baggy as the club picked up just 2 wins from their first 29 games. Then, just over 2 weeks ago, something clicked and they have won 3 of their last 4. We can talk to striker Carlton Morris. And I love moments like this because I'm going to say what happened and you're going to say nothing. We're just doing what we've done all season, but it just fell into place, are you?
Yeah, pretty much. Right. I think you've covered it all now.
Well, Carlton Morris, great to have you on. Thanks very much. Seriously, was there a big head-to-head? Was there somebody coming back from injury, a tweak of formation? Why?
Yeah, I mean, I think, to be fair, we have, sounds like a bit of a sob story, but we have actually been unfortunate this season with a lot of, you know, key players getting injured at sort of different times. Like, you've got the beginning of the season, sort of the storyline was me and Mads are out for a few months, both with knee injuries, and then, you know, sort of we come back and then Cooley's injured and then, you know, Callum Britton picks up a knock and people get COVID and et cetera, et cetera. It just never quite fell into place. And obviously, especially when you're transitioning with a new manager, you need that sort of consistency and repetition on the training pitch that we weren't really getting too much of. And I think as time's gone on, we've had more and more of that, and you know, we're still missing a few important bodies, but you know, we've got to grips with what the manager expects from us, and we've been able to display that on the pitch, frankly, recently.
I mean, I guess the question is how you as individual personalities manage to keep going in the face of not getting the reward, the return on a Saturday or a Tuesday night.
I mean, listen, I'll be honest with you, it's tough sometimes. It is tough, like, especially when you're in that sort of form. Like, I've had it before in my career, and it's, you know, you do need picking up, but that's all about surrounding yourself with the right type of people. You know, when you're going to go home after another tough loss, and whether it's someone that's going to set you off and sort of trigger you to overreact, or, you know, you with your family and your friends who keep you grounded. And also, you know, I've always been a big admirer of people who, like, you know, they don't get too high when times are good, and they don't get too low when times are not so good. So I try and instill that in my life as well. I know a few of the boys do too. And I think, you know, it speaks to a lot of the character in the dressing room that we didn't just, you know, let sit on our knees and sort of give up. We're showing the fight now that I know we're capable of, and I know we can continue to show, for sure.
Does that mean then that you're not getting overly carried away by the fact that somebody like me is going to go, wait a second, you're only 6 points from safety. You've got a game in hand on the team in the last position of safety. You play them on the 2nd of April.
Yeah, I mean, personally, for me, I don't even look at the table. I don't really bother myself too much who we've got down the line or what the table's looking like now. I always focus on the next game in hand, and you know, for now that's this weekend's big one, and that's how I like to play it. And I won't even think about the next game after that until we've dealt with this one.
Is that fairly typical then, that you don't start looking at the permutations, that the person next to you in the changes at the training ground isn't going, wait a sec, if we win that and we win that? I mean, does nobody do that, or is that you personally?
I mean, I can only speak from my perspective, but I know that's maybe not the norm. I know a lot of people do, you know, even like they're just like, oh, even if they consciously try not to, and they're just thinking, oh, I'll just have a quick look just to see. But like, it's not like I make a conscious effort not to look. It's just what I've always done. I don't get too hung up on adding up if we do this and that and this and that, then this will happen and that will happen. I just try and take it game by game. And I think, I just think that helps me focus more and not get too carried away.
Was there always the possibility of a hangover after the extraordinary achievements of last season and getting through to the playoff? And then obviously departures on and off the field as well?
I mean, I don't know about hangover. I think the Championship's just, you know, it's an amazing league, and, you know, it's why it draws so much attention. Anyone can beat anyone at all times. And I think, especially for the first time of the season, first half of the season, if you don't get things spot on, like, you're not going to win games. You have to be at it on a weekly basis to you know, compete in this division. And, you know, on your day, if we're playing well, we know we're capable of beating anyone. But, you know, at the same time, if we're not at it, then anyone can beat us. And that's onus on players and the staff. And I think we've been getting that right recently. And you know, tipping the scales in our favour in the match, if you will. Like, and I think in fairness, we've actually done that before we started winning these games recently as well. I think there was a few games before with the new manager coming in and Ferran. I think we've been unfortunate a few times, and I think that's part and parcel of, you know, they always say being down there, you tend to not get the rub of the green. It did feel like that at times because we were putting out good performances. But, you know, it's nice to reward the fans who have been stayed loyal to us all season with some good performances and wins recently.
I guess over the course of your career, and clearly you've had more loans than an ailing business over the last decade before you finally left Norwich, was just over a year ago now, wasn't it? Are you kind of used to having to impress a new gaffer, because everybody's going to have a different interpretation of you, your strengths, your weaknesses, whether you're their sort of player, fit the mix, etc.?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, I've had my fair share of managers, fair share of clubs. It's the same thing, really. You've just got to be yourself, work hard, and you know, show the real you, because that's what you can like sort of continue with. That's you can't pretend just something you're not. You just got to sort of go out there and be your true real best. And you know, either managers will like you or they won't like you. And you know, I've been at places where they've liked me and loved me, and I've been in places where they haven't liked me and I haven't played. So you just got to stick true to yourself at that point, I think.
Yeah, you seem remarkably comfortable in your own skin. Is that as you tried to find your way and wonder whether it was going to happen for you at Norwich and went here and went there? Has that always been the case? Is that a skill that you've had to learn, the sort of mental side of the game?
Yeah, definitely. I think like back in the day, I was a different person for sure. Like 17, 18, growing up, coming through at Norwich, it was sort of, you know, I did worry. I did read things online. I sort of, you know, I let things get on top of me. You know, when things were going well, I was over the moon. And, you know, then I'd crash and burn when things wouldn't go so well. But I think that's just, as you get older, life will give you punches sometimes. But you just got to get back up and sort of carry on. Because, you know, at the end of the day, with every individual, you're fighting for yourself. You know what? You're going to have family and friends that are going to support you in that, but you got to do it for you. And I think that's the biggest lesson I've really learned in life and through my career, which football's helped me with a lot. Moving out at a young age, sort of it all sort of culminates into a big life lesson.
Do you try and pass that message on to younger players? Because I don't think I'm speaking out of turn to say there is a kind of obsession with social media and what are people saying about me, but you're never going to please everybody all the time, are you? So do you try and counsel the younger ones to try not to look, or give it 24 hours and then look, rather than be straight in the changing rooms on the phone going, I wonder what Bert in row WC32 thinks about me?
Yeah, I mean, I tried to speak to him, but they're on their phone, so they don't listen. But I'm joking. Yeah, I try and spread, you know, my own experience. I think it's I'm always keen as well to listen to people who have experienced things. I think because that's the best way to learn through either experiencing yourself or listening to someone who's been through whatever situation it is you're requiring advice on. But yeah, I definitely try to get that message out. But you know, people react to things in different ways. Some people literally can't help but look and, you know, type their name in on Twitter, I think, and see what everyone's saying about them, whether it's good or bad. But you know, it's all about either not looking if you can't handle it, or just not letting it all get on top of you.
You should have had a little peek last weekend, because you did the dirty over my lot, Middlesbrough, didn't you? And the borough manager, Chris Wilder, then picked you out and said how outstanding you were and stuff. Did anybody pass that on to you?
Yeah, I actually did see that, because my mum...
Did you?
She'd be terrible if she was a footballer, I'm telling you, because she'd be typing her name in every week like she does mine. But thankfully, she only sends me the positive stuff. So I did actually have a read of that. It's... They were very good words. It's, you know, it feels good for a man like that who's done so much in his career to say those sorts of things. So I was pleased to read that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, there's a real buy-in for you, isn't there? Because I'm guessing it took a lot for you to leave the club you'd been at since such a tender age. It feels like Barnsley is the right fit for you.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know... I'd done my time at Norwich. I was always very thankful for everything they did to me. They helped me develop so much. Obviously, I had a lot of loans and stuff. But you know, I was ready to go on my own journey. And I think, I've took that opportunity so far at Barnsley. Like you say, it's been a really good fit for me. Been fortunate enough to have great teammates here who, you know, it's a supportive bunch. The change room atmosphere is brilliant. And I think that just leads to success on the pitch. Obviously, this season hasn't gone perfectly yet, but, you know, we're working on turning that around at the moment.
You know, I know you just look one step ahead, but you've given yourself a real fighting chance, have you not? And it would be remarkable, bearing in mind that form over the first two-thirds of the season, if you managed to escape.
Yeah, I mean, like, listen, we're in the situation we are in. There's no point in, you know, arguing or saying why or how we're in this situation. But all we can do now is fight. And, you know, it is a fight. Every game's a cup final. And, you know, I know obviously a lot of players will sort of look to the future games and stuff. Like, I'm a boring interviewee in that sense because of my...
You're not.
You know, like, my sort of preface on it is that take it game by game and... you know, win the next one. And then, you know, if we do that, then move on to the next. But all the focus is on Derby this weekend at the moment. And, you know, which is a huge game in itself. But, you know, going to that game, win, lose or draw, I won't get too high or low. I'll make sure that energy is passed throughout the dressing room and we'll crack on and play the next game.
It's been an absolute pleasure. I resisted the temptation to cut you off as soon as I saw you were heard you on the line after what you did against Borough last weekend. But we do wish you luck for the rest of the season. Thanks for joining us, Carlton.
Thank you, pal. Cheers.
Your Sky Bet Championship fixtures this coming weekend. Friday night, Huddersfield unbeaten in the last 15 in the league, entertain Peterborough. And Sheffield United, 7th and a point off the playoffs, entertain Forest, 9th and 2 points behind them. The early kickoff on Saturday sees the leaders Fulham at home to 4th-placed Blackburn. As Carlton Morris said, Barnsley, currently 22nd off the back of those 3 wins in 4, head to 23rd place Derby County. West Brom, just 1 point and 1 goal in their 5 games under Steve Bruce, are at Hull City. Borough, 7 consecutive home wins and 9 in 14 overall. Entertain Luton Town, 5 league wins in their last 6. Bournemouth, currently in 2nd, head to Preston, 5th place QPR are at home to Cardiff. And there's a couple of big games as well next Tuesday night. It's Chris Wilder's return to Bramall Lane as Sheffield United take on Middlesbrough and Fulham head to Swansea. That's it for this episode. A big thank you to Carlton Morris and to Mark Hughes. If you've enjoyed it, please do give us a 5-star rating, press the subscribe button and share on your socials. If you'd like to get in touch, our email address is podcast@efl.com. That's podcast at EFL.com. My name's Mark Clement. Join us again soon for another episode of
The Official EFL Podcast.